My message today is based on the scripture from the Gospel of Matthew. I'll be reading chapter 11, verses 16 through 19, and then continuing with 25 through 30. So hear now these words. To what will I compare this generation? It is like a child sitting in the marketplaces calling out to others. We played our flute for you, and you didn't dance. We sang a funeral song, and you didn't mourn. For John came eating nor drinking, and they said, he has a demon. Yet the human one came eating and drinking, and they said, look, a glutton and a drunk, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved to be right by her works. And at that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have shown them to babies. Indeed, Father, this brings you happiness. My Father has handed all things over to me. No one knows the Son except the Father, and nobody knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wants to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are struggling hard and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Put on my yoke and learn from me. I'm gentle and humble, and you will find rest for yourselves. My yoke is easy to bear, and my burden is light. May we add blessing and understanding to the reading of these words. I'd like to share some music with you now. Our music today is provided by Doug Baker, a regular that folks are probably becoming pretty familiar with at this point. I'd like to present to you an original from my friend Doug. This particular tune is entitled, If I Fall.
If I fall, will you help me up? Will I fall because I stumble or because I jump? Will it be because I took a leap and it wasn't high enough? If I fall, will you help me up? If I sit down, will you let me rest? Will you take me at my word that I gave my best? When trying so hard to pass someone else's test, if I sit down, will you let me rest?
Thank you for that, Doug. If you're interested in more stuff from Doug, you can find out more about him at DougBakerMusic.com. My message today is entitled The Dance of Grace. You know, from the age of 3 to 7, Maya Angelou was raised by her grandmother. That time was a rare period of calm and stability in what, well, in what would become a very traumatic childhood for her. Her grandmother ran a general store, and one thing that really bothered her grandmother was people complaining. They complained about the heat, the cold, a myriad of other things, and Maya's grandmother thought they were all pretty much just trivial. And according to Maya, whenever it happened, Maya's grandmother would wait until the customer left the store, call Maya over to her and say, "Sister, did you hear what brother so-and-so or sister much to do complained about? Sister, there are people who went to sleep all over the world last night, poor and rich, white and black, and they'll never wake again. And those dead folks would give anything, anything at all for just 5 minutes of this weather that person was grumbling about. So you watch yourself complaining, sister. What you're supposed to do when you don't like the way a thing is change it. If you can't change it, change your attitude. Don't complain." It's a lesson that Maya learned well and often repeated. When you don't like the way a thing is, change it. If you can't change it, change the way you think about it. Don't complain. The general attitude of complaining or of not seeing the upside of things, the tendency to be negative and miss out on the blessings in life is a primary focus of today's scripture reading. See, Jesus is accusing folks specifically, he's accusing them of accusing John the Baptist. But he's using the complaining about John as an example of how they tend to conduct their lives. And spoiler alert, he basically thinks the complaining and being negative is one of the things that make our lives sometimes miserable and difficult. He says the people have been demonizing John, saying he's eating and being drunk when he's not doing either. But basically, being negative and looking for a reason to demonize him, even at the expense of reality, sort of sounds like most of our modern day politicians, doesn't it? Well, it's also sounds a bit like the kind of thing that goes on in unhealthy churches sometimes. But like I said, Jesus is using this as an example of how they tend to conduct their lives. Now, in the text, we get the bigger picture of what Jesus sees as the problem. The bigger picture of what he says is getting in the way of them having a better life. He says, "We played the flute for you, and you didn't dance. We wailed, and you didn't mourn." You know, basically, Jesus is saying life has presented you with the opportunity to come together in the good and in the bad, and you've chosen to do neither. You prefer to create drama, manipulate reality, to divide into factions, judging one another rather than extending grace and dancing together. Here's the interesting thing. Jesus actually doesn't really say it himself. He puts it into the mouths of children. He says, "It's like children sitting in the marketplace, calling to one another and saying these things." Now, it's really sort of sophisticated storytelling. In verses 16 and 17, Jesus first has the children critique the action of the adults, basically making it clear that if children can get this, can understand this, and that it's no way to live, then certainly that adults can figure it out. And then he uses the children themselves as an example to the adults, because the children aren't just saying, "We played the flute and you did not dance." They're saying it to each other. So Jesus is also using the children as an example of the utter ridiculousness of people being negative and accusing each other. You know, sometimes it's just a symptom of our humanity. We get so wrapped up in ourselves and in the difficulties in our lives that we forget about others, or worse yet, make it difficult on others. Just as bad, because of it, we tend to miss out on the good in life because we've invested so much energy into maintaining these negative accusations and positions. Now, mind you, that's not an excuse. Just because it comes somewhat natural to us, it doesn't follow that we should just sort of give in to it. If anything, when we think it through, and what it does to us, we should want to avoid it. I think that is what Jesus is trying to get at in the second part of our scripture. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden light. Carrying around accusations, grudges, and divisions, it is heavy work. It will wear a soul out. It will distract you from the blessings that are waiting for you in life, because frequently those blessings are found in others. Even the people you see yourself as standing over and against. Jesus says, learn from me. And then he instantly speaks of his gentleness and his humbleness. This is a diametric opposite of the people we hear of in the beginning of today's scripture. The ones who, despite the music, will not dance. Those who will not mourn with others. Those who accuse John the Baptist of falsehoods to hurt him and create divisions. There's very little that's gentle or humbling about them. That way of life, Jesus says, is tough. It wearies souls. Jesus's way, what he taught, is the way of loving neighbor, the way of grace, the way that dances when other lives sing and weeps when they grieve, opens our eyes and our ears to the bountiful blessings that have been planted in every person we meet. It is said that during the Second World War, some soldiers serving in France wanted to bury a fellow soldier who had been killed. And being in a foreign country, they wanted to ensure that their fallen comrade had a proper burial. And they found this well-kept cemetery with a low wall around and a picturesque little Catholic church in the midst of a peaceful landscape. And this was, they thought, just the place to bury their friend. But when they approached the priest, he answered that unless their friend was baptized Catholic, he could not be buried in the cemetery. And, well, their friend had not been. So they were disappointed. And sensing that they were, the priest said that there was a spot just outside of the wall where they could bury their friend. And you know, reluctantly, they did so. And the next day, the soldiers returned. They came back to pay, well, basically their final respects to their fallen friend. They couldn't find the grave. They said, there's no way we got this wrong. It was right here. It was right here. So confused, they approached the priest, who took them to a spot inside the wall. And the priest told them, last night I couldn't sleep. And I was troubled that your friend had to be buried outside the cemetery walls. So I got up and I moved the fence. From our scripture reading today, we wailed and you did not mourn. Christianity, grace, is about moving fences. It's about inclusion. It's about dancing together and mourning together. It is about community. There is a saying that is attributed to the indigenous peoples of North America that goes like this. Someone made a circle to keep me out, so I made a bigger one to include us all. The struggle. The struggle to fence people in or fence people out or to bring them in. This struggle to dance when people's lives sing or to mourn with them when they weep, the struggle to which Jesus points to in today's scripture reading between a life that's difficult or a life that's easy. It occurs in all of us. Many of you, I am certain, have heard, I know I have many times, the story of the two wolves, purportedly part of a Cherokee heritage. The purpose of the story is to teach a lesson about, well, which emotions end up defining us in life. Well, the reality is that it is a story that was made up by none other than the Reverend Billy Graham. I know. I was surprised, too. It probably had its roots, actually, though, in a real-life story of a Baptist missionary who was told by a Mojave Indian convert named Joe that he has two dogs always fighting inside him, and that the dog which Joe feeds the most will win. Well, regardless of its true origins, as we think of our own internal struggles to fence people out or to bring them in, to dance when people's lives sing or to mourn with them when they weep, to emphasize the positive or to focus on the negative, I believe that it's a story worth retelling. And I am going to retell it. I'm going to edit it, change it up a bit in order to remove some of the really messed up white equals good, black equals bad imagery in it, as well as changes some of the stereotypical gender and ageist issues that I find in the original. A wise and ageless spirit once settled itself in next to a man whose appearance was painted with medals of a long and sometimes difficult life. Outwardly seemed okay, but the spirit knew he wasn't. There is a struggle going on inside of you, the spirit whispered into the winds as he sat next to the man. A struggle between two beasts. One is evil. It's hate, anger, evil, envy, sorrow, regret, fear, greed, arrogance, self-pity, resentment, inferiority, false pride, ego. The other's good. It's grace, joy, peace, love, hope, justice, serenity, intelligence, humility, humility, kindness, empathy, mercy, strength, generosity, truth, compassion, faith. It's a struggle that I see in all of my people. The man shifted uncomfortably as the message on the winds found home in his heart, and with a bit of unease, he quietly mumbled to no one, "Which one wins?" And the spirit smiled a smile of satisfaction and simply replied, "The one you feed." Which one will you feed? Which one will you feed? May we all choose to dance in this life to the rhythm of grace. Amen. Let me share another song with you from Doug. This one's beautiful, just like the one before was. Navigating Life.
Thank you.
making buff pies every summer. In my grandma's backyard, chasing fireflies with my cousins till the night made seeing hard. Playing was our one concern. We had no sense of strife. We were kids navigating life. Teenage years come raging, make you question all you know. New friends come forward when old friends find somewhere else they want to go. Looking for where we belong, trying to find our tribe. We were kids navigating life. We all make our choices on where we'll make our stand. Lawyers, poets, scientists, and teachers, we're singing in a band.
Thank you for that, Doug. Navigating life. It's a wonderful reminder in the midst of a message that says we know a better way of living. We can't always get it or get to it and dance the dance of grace. It's a wonderful reminder that all we're trying to do is navigate life, trying to make it a little bit better, find those spaces. And for me, I don't know about those of you out there, it brought up so many wonderful memories from childhood on. So thank you for that, Doug. We're very grateful for your presence and for your sharing of your gifts and talents with us. Let's enter into a slightly more inwardly turned moment now, as we have a time of meditation, of silence, of whatever speaks to you. What this moment needs to be for you, let it be that. It can be prayer. I'll be offering words that are of a prayer. But they also can just be words that you hear and grab hold of and lead you to the places you need to be right now. Let's bow our heads together. Life constantly invites us to dance. life, nature, the universe are playing a continual melody. Songs of joy and new life, songs of endings and loss, songs of glee and silliness, songs of difficulty and sorrow, songs of life. And too frequently, we do not accept this invitation. Too frequently, we find ourselves caught up in a counter-rhythm that is incongruous, incongruous, and disconnected with the rhythms of life. Rather than join in the dance, we find ourselves trying to shape the music to our own song instead of that, the songs that others play. Shape the music to our own song, insisting that others play the music that is pleasing to our ears and investing our energies into tripping them up when they don't. May we learn the song of life. May we see that together all of our songs create a greater melody. May we hear the beauty in the songs of others. May we be aware of the careful and perfectly joyful way our songs weave in and out of each other. May we sing rather than mumble. May we dance rather than trip others up. May we embrace each other as we dance this dance of grace and life. Amen.